I went to court, I had not only the sheriff of the jail testify on my behalf, but several of the members of local churches from the area that had come to many of the Bible studies testified on my behalf, and even the assistant district attorney put in a word for me at that time, which was a pretty remarkable thing. So I received a much lighter sentence than what I should have received, and yet I still was sentenced to prison because, for one, I had broken my parole violation, so I knew I was going back if for nothing else than that, and also for the crime that I had done.
What happened during that time when you were a believer but still in prison?
One of the things that happened was I wanted to stay in the little jail that I was in, and normally that would have been possible because whoever the sheriff requested to stay there as a trustee would have been able to stay there. I wanted to stay there because of the uniqueness of the situation. I was learning the Bible. They had Bible studies there. There were other believers that were in the jail, and I thought that's the place that I needed to be. But the Lord had different plans, and one day, very uncharacteristically, they came and called for me and said, "We're transferring you to another prison." One of the things that was unusual about that is normally you have to go through a classification process that takes place sort of at a central location, and then they send you to a prison after they've classified you. Well, they bypassed that process, and they sent me immediately to a prison in the town of Augusta, Georgia, oddly enough, on a road called Tobacco Road. So they sent me into this prison there. And all the way I was praying on the way there because I couldn't understand why I couldn't stay in this little jail. That might sound odd, but it seemed to be a good place to stay, and it was certainly better than going to a prison. Given the alternative. So they transferred me to this place, and one of the things that I did, I got there on a Thursday. I immediately asked if they had a Bible study. They said, "There's a man that comes on Friday and Monday nights." So on Friday night, I went out to the Bible study, and there were two brothers from one of the local churches there in the area that conducted a Bible study. And I'll never forget that they were announced that they were going to be teaching on the book of Numbers and on the book of Esther. And I thought to myself, this is going to be, somehow I'll endure, but this is going to be just, you know, the driest thing imaginable. Well, they got in there and just began to open up the Word of God, and they were systematically going through these books of the Bible. And I tell you, it was just like manna to a hungry soul. It was, when I heard them open up God's Word in that way, I realized that this is what I needed, the teaching of God's Word. The other thing that they did was they used a little Bible study course called the Emmaus Bible Study Courses, Correspondence Courses. And a lot of times they would give those courses out, and sometimes they'd get them back. Sometimes they would get them back much later. Sometimes they wouldn't get them back at all. Well, I remember they gave me sort of the initial course, which is called What the Bible Teaches, on a Friday night. And on Monday, I gave the course back completed. So on Monday, they gave me a course on the Book of Acts, which is a little bit thicker course. And on Friday, I gave that course back completed. And so I started studying God's Word through their teaching in the Bible study and also through the Emmaus correspondence courses. And really, that went on for quite a while. And I did, I think, 26 of the courses while I was there, which really began to ground me in God's Word. The third thing they did at that time was to give me a Scofield Bible. And for me at the time, having never seen such a thing like that, it was really an amazing thing. And I was able to use that to study on my own in the cell. And it was a very profitable thing for me to have that study tool. And if I might add, the fourth thing that they did was to encourage me to memorize Scripture. And I began to memorize hundreds of Scriptures at that time that I was there. And it was one of the most beneficial things that I could have done, spiritually speaking.
Let me interject with a question which has come to mind. One of the things that kind of intrigues those of us who haven't gone down that road is we hear over and over and over about the availability of drugs in prison. There was obviously a drug culture there. You have now come out of that. You are part of another subculture within that prison culture.
Well, it's interesting that although prison life is obviously different than life outside of prison in many ways, there are a lot of similarities. you have, as you say, within that society of prison, certain cultures. Drugs were available. I won't say they were as readily available, but they were certainly obtainable. You could get them if you wanted them. There were those that involved themselves in that, and obviously some that didn't. I found, and each place is unique also, they're a bit different from place to place you go. The particular place that I was at, there seemed to be a certain respect for those that they saw as sincere in wanting to follow Christ. Now, they could spot a phony in a minute, and there wasn't much respect for that. They could spot a phony not only in the inmates, but in some of those that came that claimed to be ministers of Christ. So there seemed to be a certain level of respect for those that they recognized after a period of time were sincere in what they were trying to do, although there were obviously still difficulties. And yet, I just began to immerse myself in the study of God's Word. I used my spare time that I had, either when I was on work detail, to memorize Scripture. I tried to associate with those in there, though there were few that were seeking to follow the Word of God. So it's certainly different, but in some ways there are parallels even in the society in which we live.
Would you have classed yourself as an addict, a drug addict, or a drug user in that you've obviously left this behind? You said a little while earlier that you sensed that the desire for that was going away. Was that something that sort of just God just gave you freedom from this whole thing, or was there a time of struggle with it and eventual victory? How did that work?
I know that experience is different for individuals in this particular area. With me, although there weren't very many kinds of drugs that I didn't do, and for many years in my life, not a day would go by when I wouldn't do drugs in one form or another. The deliverance came for me almost immediately. God just immediately delivered me from the desire for drugs, and He just took it away from my life and from drug and alcohol abuse and all of the other things that went along with it. The deliverance was almost immediate for me. And so I began to realize when I was in this prison that for the first time in my life, in a long number of years, I was really free for the first time. And I can honestly say, not that I didn't want to get out, but that the life that I had in there was a life that was better than the life that I had before. And it didn't matter when I got out. I knew that I would get out in God's timing, and I really sensed that sense of freedom as it continued to dawn on me, and as it continued to, my awareness and understanding began to grow of what had actually taken place in my life. And so it was a very tremendous deliverance that I experienced, and I give all the credit and honor to what the Lord had done in my life at that point.
Now, obviously, at some point, you did get out.
I did.
And I hear stories from time to time, we read in the paper about how traumatic it is sometimes for men who have been incarcerated for a period of time to suddenly be faced with freedom on the street, and it's there's an adjustment there. We think that they should just be all thrilled and it would be easy. Tell me about your adjustment back to life on the outside.
Okay, my adjustment back on life on the street, I'll give you an interesting incident that happened before I was actually saved, when I was released another time. They gave me $50 after being in a number of years, and at that time they gave me, you got whatever kind of suit came down the pike for civilian clothes. Everybody dreaded the pink suit, but I got the pink suit. So I was released out on the street with $50 in my pocket and a pink suit. First thing I did was to use part of that $50 to get something besides the pink suit.
So you ditched the pink suit.
I ditched the pink suit. But at this particular...
Was it polyester?
It was polyester with bluish-gray piping around the border. So you can just imagine.
You'd stand out in a crowd.
Very outstanding. But I say that to say that it can be very difficult, that period of readjustment. When I was released in September of 1979, I went back to the hometown that I was from, Jacksonville, Florida. My parents lived in that town. My parents, throughout all of this, had always been very supportive of me. And I was released to go back to that particular town and didn't have much as far as this world's goods were concerned, But as soon as I got back, I was given a phone number of a local church or an assembly in the town of Jacksonville that the two men who taught the Bible study in Georgia put me in contact with. And one of the things, if I could just back up just a moment, that had happened was when these men came to teach the Bible study in this place, oftentimes I would ask them, you know, what church are you from? What denomination are you from? And at first they didn't really give me satisfactory answers. They never tried to push where they were from on anybody. But they happened to be from a New Testament church that was there in the town of Augusta that, in my understanding of the Bible, seemed to follow along the pattern of the New Testament as far as I could read it at that time for myself. And so they felt that as they observed my life in the prison, that I might have some ability to be able to teach the Scripture. And they actually gave me an opportunity to do that while I was in there. They gave me a few weeks to take the Bible study, four nights actually, and not knowing what else to do, I knew that they took a book of the Bible and went through it, so I said, well, that's what I'll do. And since I had four nights, I looked in the Bible, and the book of Ruth had four chapters, so I said, well, I'll take that book and teach through it in the four nights, and that's what I did. When that particular period was done, they asked me to continue teaching with them on a regular basis, the difference being that when the study was over, they would leave and I would stay. I say that to say that by that time, I was beginning to sense that perhaps the Lord was calling me to teach or to preach His Word. I had very little understanding of what was involved with that at the time, but I really began to feel that that's what God wanted me to do. So when I was released and sent back to Jacksonville, Florida, as soon as I could, I got in contact with this assembly of believers that were there in that town. I was warmly received and explained to them something of my past because I felt that it was important for them to know. And yet they commented to me that all had sinned and come short of the glory of God, and but for the grace of God, any of them could have been in the same situation that I had been. So I was very warmly received. And also I found that it was a rather small place, and there was plenty of opportunity for service. And so God began to use me to help out wherever I could in that little place there in Jacksonville, Florida. So I found employment in a place there in town and began to serve the Lord there in that little local church.
Just to help us sort of fit this into the chronology of your life, where along the path were you age-wise at that point?
At that point, I would have been 25 years of age.
Oh, you up until 25, you'd live life bigger and faster than most people do when they hit 70.
Yeah, I had. And my life continued to take a sort of a rapid transit, if you will. Interestingly enough, I was saved in March of 1978. As I mentioned, I received a much shorter sentence than I should have had and was actually released in September of 1979, which is about a year and a half or so. In February of 1980, I quit the job that I was working in town at that time and began to seek the Lord's will about serving Him in a full-time capacity in preaching and teaching God's Word. So I had a very rapid experience, even after I was saved. And I would preface that by saying, while that's certainly not everybody's experience, there were a couple of factors involved in my life at that time, and not in any way of self-promotion, but just to sort of put it in perspective. One of the things is that I had lived so much of the world at that point and all that was involved that the break in my life was a very clean one. And in other words, I had had my fill of all that was on that side of the fence. I didn't want any more of that. And I pursued with all the grace of God and energy that I could at that time the things of the Lord. So consequently, I had also had a lot of time to study because I had a lot of time on my hands and that's what I used it for. And I was very much primed as far as the study that I had done. I had felt like I was just bursting with things that I wanted to share. The third thing is that the uniqueness of the local church that I was in at that time, providentially, God used that experience to open doors for me that perhaps wouldn't have opened in another situation. So I had a very rapid experience even there afterwards. Well, after a few years, as a matter of fact, it wouldn't have been very many years, I had an opportunity to have a little radio broadcast on a local station in the town of Jacksonville. And after I began that broadcast, it was a weekly broadcast, 15-minute program once a week, I then was put in contact with some other believers that were interested in having that broadcast on a different station. And so I changed the station that I was on at the time, and through that change became very close friends with the man who at that time was the founder and owner of the radio station. And I began to sense, as he did, that perhaps the Lord was leading me to help out in that particular work. So from having a broadcast, for about 3 years, I worked in Christian radio in various aspects, which was an amazing thing to me, that the Lord would take my life and allow me to preach His Word, not now just to a few people, but through who knows how many people through the medium of Christian radio.
What was the nature of the programming that you did? Your personal program.
Again, the only thing I knew to do at that time was to take a book of the Bible and just begin to go through it. So even though I had a weekly broadcast, that's generally what I would do. Even
then, teaching program.
A teaching program. Just teaching with an emphasis always on the gospel being there to tell other people how they could be saved and know Christ as their Savior. And I also would offer on the broadcast usually a free book offer or a free Bible study course that anyone could have just for calling or writing, and received many requests, oftentimes from people in prison that would listen to the radio broadcast, and you knew that you were reaching people that you couldn't reach by any other means. So I felt it was a very good work.
Larry, your story is a dramatic example of how God can work in someone's life, and when we're confronted with this kind of evidence for God, it makes an impact. Give me an example of someone that you've been able to help because of where you've been.
For a number of years, I actually went back to the same prison that I was released from to continue to share the gospel and to bring the Word of God to the men that were there. That was a pretty dramatic thing because oftentimes the population changes, and it was always a refreshing thing to be able to walk out those doors after the study was over. But, you know, there again, the men in that place would look at you and you could say, I've been where you've been, I've sat where you've sat, I know what you're going through. So many times I've had the opportunity to share with men in those type of situations. I've also, over the years, had opportunity at numerous gospel missions in various towns to be able to share my experience with the men who, some of them are struggling, some of them are in despair. There have been many incidents where the Lord has used my background and the experiences that I've had to be able to relate to people at all walks of life. I like to remind people, too, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, as the book of Romans tells us, and that the gospel is so powerful that it can not only save a person like me, who is a drug abuser and all of the rest, but it can even save good people. And, you know, I'm reminded, if I could just relate a biblical thing, of the story of the leper in the Old Testament and the whole condition of leprosy. Leprosy took various forms. Sometimes you could look at a person immediately and say, no, that person's a leper, because it was all over them, out broke, all over their body. Other times, the leprosy could have been hidden by the clothing or perhaps even in the hair, might have been less evident. To me, that's a tremendous illustration of the way sin is. Some people's life, like mine, it was fully outbroken. You could look at my life and just see sin written all over me. Other people, it may not be as evident, and yet it's still there. And so with my life, while it was an outbroken form and an evident form, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So interestingly enough, I have been able to relate to a couple of different strata of people. One, those that have had experiences like I have, but even those that haven't, to be able to see what God has done with a life now, because to His glory, most of the time when I meet people, they would never guess the background that I have. So it's a testimony to the grace of God.
Larry, I know that the Bible has been a big part of how God has impacted your life. Why don't you share something specific from God's Word with us as we close?
There's a verse that's found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 103 and verse 10, and I've sort of taken that as a life verse for me. It says this, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Most of the people that are in prison, believe it or not, know that they've done things wrong, even though sometimes they won't admit it. And there's a little statement that people used to say that if you got what you deserved, you'd be under the prison and never see the light of day. And that's sort of a recognition that we really haven't, even though we've gotten sentenced for something, haven't gotten everything that we've deserved, haven't gotten caught for everything. This verse in the Bible says, He has not dealt with us after our sins, and He hasn't rewarded us according to our iniquities. In other words, God hasn't dealt with us after our sins. He hasn't rewarded us to the degree of our iniquities. But the reason for that is, He has dealt with His Son in regard to our sins. And the Son bore our iniquities on Calvary's cross in order that God might deal with us in His grace and in His mercy. So this verse of the Bible to me reminds me of the fact that I haven't been rewarded according to the iniquities that I've done, but only because Jesus Christ bore them on Calvary's cross on my behalf so that I might not have to experience that penalty of sin.
Larry, thank you for sharing your story and reminding us that God's forgiveness is based on the sacrifice of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for us. My guest today has been Larry Price. Larry is now a full-time preacher and Bible teacher, taking God's Word to all kinds of people in all kinds of situations. And as a side note, as we close, you might be interested to know that back in 1992, Larry received a complete pardon from the state of Florida, and this treats him as if he had no record at all. So we're thankful to God for what He's done in Larry's life, and pray that as you've heard his story today, that God might impress upon you His claims on your life.